If you would, to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Most of you, if not all of you, hopefully all of you, received a set of notes with your bulletin when you came in this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 is the text that we started a couple of weeks ago. Last week, we had a pause due to the baptisms. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit, I think, just moves in such a great way when we have water baptisms. And if you are interested in being water baptized, we do have a couple more that are going to be. And if you are interested in being water baptized, there are cards to let me know that. That's basically just to inform me that you are interested in being water baptized so that we can plan a date and get going with it and just have another great and glorious time as we fellowship together and experience people giving their testimony and just experience really what the Holy Spirit does in people's lives when they're water baptized, which is absolutely astounding. Amen? Amen. Let's pray as we approach the Word. You're opening up to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you glory and honor. And Father, as we delve into the Word of God this morning, we pray, Father God, that your touch would be upon it. We pray that you would open up the eyes of our understanding to the Word of God. We pray, Father God, the Holy Spirit would just cause the Word to come alive, that it would not be the dead letter that kills, but it would be anointed by your Spirit and bring life to every hearer, Father God. We pray that you would just bring energy and strength to each and every person. We pray that every mind would be able to be attentive and not distracted in any way. And Father, we just pray that what you desire to be accomplished here this morning, by means of your word would be accomplished without hindrance in any way. We thank you and believe you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. As the Apostle Paul closes this second epistle that he wrote to the Corinthian church, notice what it says in verse 14. He closes and says this, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Everybody say communion with the Holy Spirit. And so a couple of weeks ago, we began talking about communion with the Holy Spirit. The idea of that word communion is a Greek word that many of us are probably familiar with. It's that Greek word koinonia, which includes ideas like partnership. It includes ideas like intimacy and just participation together, etc. Communion with the Holy Spirit, partnership with the Holy Spirit. Friendship was another word that we applied to that word communion, because indeed the Holy Ghost wants to be a friend in our lives in order so that we are aware that we don't have to walk this life alone, but he wants to walk this life with us. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Turn with me, if you will, to a scripture that's not in your notes, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Just back a few pages here to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Everybody's alive and well today, right? Amen. So look lively. Come on now, come on. I know the snow, but that's all right. We're blessed. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. I'm going to begin there, even though not necessarily does all of it have to do with what it does indirectly, though have to do with what I'm talking about. In verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, everybody's good? It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship," there's that word again, koinonia, partnership, etc., "has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial?" Belial was a word or a name given to Satan himself that basically meant worthless. And so God sees Satan as one who is worthless. And he did it to himself, didn't he? "And what accord is Christ with Belial?" Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?" Now notice the contrast. He is talking about believer versus non-believer, isn't he? And he's comparing a believer to being righteousness or righteous, an unbeliever being lawless, a believer being light, an unbeliever being darkness, and then going on, a believer being connected with Christ, an unbeliever being connected with Belial, or the worthless one, or Satan, if you will, and then he goes on, believer with an unbeliever. What agreement has the temple of God? I don't know if you know, you are the temple of the living God. Your body is with idols. The unbeliever worships idols, whether they realize it or not, even if they worship material things. Worshiping sports is one of the great idols of America, isn't it? It's interesting that one of the things that historians apply to the fall of Rome was their obsession with sports. That was one of the characteristics that historians apply to the fall of Rome, and it seems that it's happening in our nation in many ways, their obsession with sports. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's just a side note. Won't cost you anything extra. Anyway, it says again in verse 16, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God." Say, I? am the temple of the living God. Now that's in contrast to idols who were dead idols, right? Aren't you glad you serve a God who is alive? And you are the temple of the living God. Now notice now, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. He's talking about you today, saint. Amen. He says that I will dwell in them. Say, the Holy Spirit dwells in me. That's how God dwells in us, by way of the Holy Spirit of God, that third person of the Godhead. He says and promises, I will dwell in them and walk among them. Again, remembering I said previously, before turning to this passage, that God wants to walk with us throughout life. He doesn't expect us to walk alone. You think of the thing that many of you have read, the poem called Footsteps, right? And it shows the footsteps and all these various things, two walking together, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's only one set of footsteps, and someone, I don't know the poem by heart, didn't even intend to mention it here, but someone said, well, God, you must have left me because now there's only one set of footsteps. But the point is this, that God didn't leave him. God lifted him up and carried him from that point forward. So there was only one set of footprints, the footprints of God. Amen. So he wants to walk with us. He wants to carry us when we need it. He wants to take care of us. And he does this by way of the Holy Spirit who dwells with us and walks amongst us. He says, continuing in verse 60, I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, because of all these promises, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. As a father to his sons and daughters, he wants to care for us. He wants to, again, walk alongside of us. He wants to make sure that we're taken care of, because he is a loving heavenly father. He is the perfection of fatherhood, is he not? And oh, I pray we get a revelation of the fatherhood of God and how by way of his Holy Spirit, he wants to be a father to us. And it says that he is the Almighty, and he's not almighty just for himself. He is almighty on behalf of you and me. Amen. Is everybody doing all right today? All right, so let's read on in some of these things concerning your notes. Notice the review from last time as we continue along this line. You look up on the big screen, you see that we're in a series title that is called Church, the Purpose God Intended. We're in part 10 of that. And then the subtitle is, again, this idea of the operation of the Holy Spirit in the church. Now notice, review from last time about the Holy Spirit indwells us. Here's some scriptures about the Holy Spirit indwelling us. He says in John 14, 16, and 17, I will pray the Father. Jesus is praying. Or he is speaking and saying that he will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. Everybody say a helper. This implies, again, this idea of coming alongside, walking with us, helping us throughout life. I will give you another helper that he may abide with you. How long? Forever. Does he ever leave then? The answer to that is no. Do you ever feel like he's left? Yeah, the answer probably for most people is, yeah, you feel like it. But how many of you know we walk by faith and not by sight or by feelings, right? And so he never leaves us nor forsakes us. If we feel like he's left, he's not changed. We have changed in terms of our walk, in terms of our fellowship with him. So he says, again, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you, and the fulfillment of him being in us has taken place from the time of the beginning of the church, after the resurrection of Jesus, after the first believers accepted him and were born again, the Spirit came and indwelt them from that point forward. Amen? Another passage that we gave you concerning the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, next frame, is 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Next frame, if we can. In 1 Corinthians 6, also 19 and 20, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You are not your own any longer. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen? And so we're to glorify him in our body, in our spirit. We're to allow him, the Holy Spirit, to be glorified in and through our lifestyle, our life. He wants to show himself through us. Amen? We are the ones that will be the light shining to the world so that they might see God's glory and God's presence and God's love that he has for them as well, right? Amen. All right, let's go on now with some things that we mentioned concerning the fact that he lives in us. Why does he dwell within us? We gave you three reasons he dwells in us. We're going to get into another one this morning. Notice again, as part of review, these are in your notes also, but we'll read the scriptures. Notice first from your notes, the first thing we talked about is he lives in us to help us pray. Notice what the Amplified says of Romans 8:26. So too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for or what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Now, there's probably a depth to that verse that none of us have fully grasped. But the one thing that we want to understand with this is notice the Holy Spirit comes to our aid in order so that, or at times when we don't know what prayer to offer or how to offer that prayer. Have you ever been in a situation when you didn't know what prayer to offer? You didn't know how to pray for a situation. You didn't know how to pray for an individual or even perhaps for yourself. You weren't sure how to pray or, for that matter, how to offer that prayer. Aren't you glad for the help? Helper, the Holy Spirit, who can help you pray. Now, I would submit to you that that includes, obviously, that ability to pray in the Holy Ghost with your spiritual language, which will be a subject down the road a little bit. We'll get more specific with that. But it also involves the idea that God, by His Spirit, will bring to your mind people that perhaps you've not even thought of. And God, by His Spirit, will show you how to pray for them just by giving you ideas, wisdom from above. And even, how many of you have experienced this? I'm sure you have. Even as you're speaking, the Holy Spirit, you feel like he's taken over. And he's given you words that you didn't plan beforehand to come out of your mouth. And you're praying for that person and you're acknowledging or you're aware and conscious of the fact the Holy Spirit is directing your speech. Even in your language, your native language, not talking about other tongues or that spiritual language, even in your own native language, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to direct and guide us and help us pray. And one thing we could do is we can ask him to help us. Amen. We can ask him. Well, we've got a promise to stand on. We've got this scripture to stand on. God, help me pray. I don't know how to pray for so-and-so. I don't know what to pray for them. I know they're hurting. I know they're going through things. Help me to pray, Holy Spirit. And I believe he will give you the way and the means upon which to pray. Amen. That'll be most effective. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. All right. Now, the next thing about the Holy Spirit indwelling us, as you look at your notes, he lives in us to bring us comfort. Notice John 14, 16 and 17. It says this, Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you. There it is again, forever. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Very similar. But notice now, the comforter from the King James, the comforter, he wants to bring you comfort. In times of sorrow. He wants to bring you comfort in times of turmoil. He wants to minister peace to you. John chapter 16, I believe it is, in verse 33. I'm not certain off the top of my head, but I believe it might be right around there. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I believe that's John, and I believe it's chapter 16 and verse, I want to say 27. You find it. You look it up. It'll do you good anyway. My name is not Strong, which means Strong's Concordance, but it's somewhere around there, all right? Amen. It's definitely the Gospel of John. We've just broadened your search just a little bit here. Amen? All right, then, again, not only has he or does he live in us to help us pray, but he lives in us to bring us comfort. Draw upon his comfort. When you're hurting, when you're in pain, say, Holy Spirit, I need your comfort. Holy Spirit, I need your encouragement. He may use another person, but he'll also just begin to minister to you within your heart and begin to bring to your remembrance the Word of God. And begin to bring to your remembrance things that you've heard, maybe messages that you've heard, or scriptures, obviously, that will bring you comfort and encouragement. As you well know, the scripture also says, as we've read, that he will bring to our remembrance what Jesus has said, or we could cover that or include his word. He'll bring to your remembrance the word of God to bring you comfort at that time of need. But you need to draw upon that. You need to have faith that that will be something that you'll receive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so I encourage you today, if you're going through a time of turmoil, you're going through a time of discomfort, a time of heartache or grief or whatever it is, just say, if you need to, maybe you're already receiving, but just say, Holy Spirit, help me. Bring me that comfort. You're my comforter. You're the one who helps me. You're the one that stands by me, and just draw upon that by faith. Amen. Amen. I believe that there's power, great power in all of that, as I've experienced that in my life as well. And then number three, again, by means of review, but we're adding some thoughts as well. The third reason we talked about that he indwells us as believers is he lives in us to open the scriptures to us. Notice John 14, verse 26, Amplified. It says this. Notice how the Amplified says it. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby. Don't you like that? I said, don't you like that? Are you awake today? No. All right. Some of you are honest today. All right. Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby. Everybody say Strengthener. Standby. Amen. That means he stands by you during times of trouble. Tap into that by faith. Then it said, the Holy Spirit, in case you wondered who he's talking about, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. He's the Comforter. He's the one that opens the scripture. He teaches us. The scripture says he will teach you all things. He opens our eyes, opens our minds. And thank God for him helping us to pray, helping us by bringing us comfort, and helping us by opening the scriptures to us. Now, we want to deal with another area that the Holy Spirit indwells us in order to help us. And I'd like you to open your Bibles or turn to Ephesians chapter 3. As you're turning there, I just want to mention this. I am convinced. Now, I hope that you'll consider this, whether you agree or not, but I'm convinced that most believers do not take advantage of the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That we maybe sometimes take that kind of as a distant thing. We don't take it so personally, that we don't really believe, because what you believe, you'll act upon. Is that not right? If you really believe it, you'll do something about it. If you really believe it, you'll say, Holy Spirit, you are my comforter. You are my helper in prayer. Holy Spirit, you are the one that opens up the scriptures. You know, I've shared this with you. Some of you, though, may never have heard me say it. I pray the prayer of Ephesians, that Paul prayed for the Ephesians almost, not every time, but almost every time before reading the scriptures. I pray what Paul prayed for the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1. I think it starts in about verse 19 where he says, I pray for you that God would give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that he would open up the eyes of your understanding, that you might know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and that you might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards you who believe. I believe we could pray that for ourselves, don't you? I often pray. I'm not going to say always. I often pray, Father, I thank you that as I get into the Word of God today, I am given the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, and that you will open up the eyes of my understanding to the Word of God. We need the help of the author of the book to understand the book, right? How about you? I remember trying to read the book called the Bible before I had the author in my life, and it was hard to understand. Amen? But praise God, he'll help us now, and we can depend upon that. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3, are you there? This is the second prayer recorded in the book of Ephesians. I just mentioned the first one in Ephesians 1. Notice what it says. Let's start with verse 14. We'll work our way down and just glean from it if we can. Are you getting anything out of this today? It says, beginning with verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, notice now, this is a major part of this prayer of Paul for the Ephesians, and if it's inspired by God, we would understand it to be something available to you and me as well, right? And so that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Another reason why the Holy Spirit indwells us as believers is that we might receive that supernatural strengthening of the Lord in our lives. How many of you know time and time again, the Bible talks about the Lord being the strength of our lives. And how is he the strength of our lives? He, according to this, is the strength of our lives by way of the Holy Spirit. Paul prayed that they would be strengthened, that they would be strengthened in their inner man by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. And so, when we are weak, he is strong within us. Amen? Now, I want to talk to you just a little bit about some of these things. If you go to your notes now, you'll notice that I made some definitions. First of all, with number 4 in your notes, Roman numeral number 3. Everybody's good? It says, letter A, the purpose of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit continue. Now, I put number 4 because the 3 previous ones were 2 weeks ago. Number 4, he lives in us to strengthen our inner man. To strengthen our inner man. Father, just let that settle down and become alive in all of our hearts. That he lives in us to strengthen our inner man. Notice what I give as a definition here. The word strengthen in this verse means this, to be empowered, to be increased in vigor. Some of you do not look like you've got much vigor today. To be increased in vigor. I'm tired too. I'm so grateful, though, that I don't have to shovel. How about you? Amen. I always choose to look at the glass halfway full than halfway empty. How about you? Amen. Because I'll tell you, I was preparing. I tried to start that snowblower yesterday late in the afternoon, and that baby would not start. And I knew that they were predicting 3 to 7 inches. And so, of course, again, trying to look at the glass halfway full, I said to myself, I think I even said to my wife, that's all right. I need the exercise. I know I'm in excellent shape and condition and all of that, but it's always good to stay in shape. Amen. Somebody's, I'm sorry? No, it's not exactly what I said. No. Thank you for clarifying that. No, you don't have to tell us exactly. I don't remember. Anyway, I don't. You remember everything. You remember things I wish you would forget, so... Be quiet. You're going to throw me completely off. What are we talking about? We're talking about snowblowers. And, but I'm in shape. The problem is that shape is a little round. Amen? But it is a shape. Amen. All right. All right. But it's less round than it was at one point. Thank God for that. All right. Let's read on here. All right. To be increased in vigor, to strengthen with the implied meaning of to establish, to grow strong, to be invigorated, and to be fortified. To be fortified. Everybody say fortified. Now notice I have a note here, and I'm going to explain it just a little bit. Notice the note here. This word is always found in the passive voice in the Greek language, which means that the subject is being acted upon or receives the action. In other words, when you're passive, you just receive. Isn't that right? I mean, it does not, this word never, and it's only found this particular word 3 times in the New Testament, but it never has the idea of being something that you earn. You can't earn it. Or necessarily something that you do. It's something that you receive. Amen. That's why the Apostle Paul prayed that they would be strengthened by his spirit in their inner man. That they would receive that strengthening. And that would imply that God is ever ready to bring that strength. Now, I would add this thought though. You've got to exercise some faith. But how many know biblical faith is not a work necessarily. It's a rest. Faith is a rest. Are you following what I'm saying? It's supposed to be a faith rest. And yes, there's faith without works is dead. But the point is this. It's not works of human effort. It's works empowered by the Spirit of God. And faith without works is dead. But we're talking about works that should be works of rest in faith. I hope that you're grabbing that. But the idea is it's something that's received. Something that God apparently and very evidently is wanting us to have and to give to us. Now, going on with this next thought, the inner man. Everybody say inner man. So I said that they might be strengthened by his spirit in their inner man. This term is used by Paul in those verses. Romans 7:22, he talks about, I delight in the law of God with my inner man. 2 Corinthians 4:16, some of you know it. It says, though the outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Aren't you glad? I may be turning 51 today in the outward man, but let me tell you something. I am just, I mean, what's the perfect day? 33, they say, because Jesus died at 33. Anyway, we won't go there. All right. Amen. But the outward man's perishing. The inward man is renewed, made stronger every day in faith in the Word of God. Amen. Now, notice now, in respectively, this describes respectively, number one, the new nature as it seeks to please God. That new nature, that inward man, the inward man of a believer wants to please God in every way. Amen. You want to please God. Now, in your mind, sometimes there's a little bit of a problem, but in that inward man, your spirit man, that part of you that has a new nature, you want to please God. Number two, the whole portion of a person that cannot be seen by others. That inward man, the real you, we could say, right? The real you is that inward man. And then number three, the part of a person that interacts with God. Because that's the passage that we're dealing with as they prayed, or Paul prayed, that they would be strengthened by his spirit in the inner man. In other words, there's an interaction between God's spirit and your inner man that causes the strength of the Holy Ghost to become your strength inwardly in the man on the inside, the real you. Amen? You believe the Holy Spirit's strong? And so if the Holy Spirit is strong, and he is because he's God, and he dwells within us, do you not think that that power, that strength is available to you in your inner man, in your spirit, where the Holy Spirit abides? No wonder he said, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The idea, as I understand it in the Greek, is through Christ who infuses me with strength. I like that, don't you? Just infuses me with strength. Say, I am strong. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. I want us to just view a video for a few minutes if we're about ready for that. And the idea of this, then we're going to go on. I know there's more notes, but we're doing good, right? Have you noticed there's not as many notes today? But that's all right. We're trying to find an equilibrium there. But you're going to get a full message. Don't worry about that. But I want you to be strengthened by the things in this video. This is from YouTube, so excuse any, hopefully there's no ungodly ads. But this is the Voice of Truth, Casting Crowns, with the background or part of it with the Facing the Giants movie. I don't know if you remember Facing the Giants. I know Courageous just came out. One of the main actors was in both of those movies. But Facing the Giants in this, I think, is going to be a blessing to you, and it's going to show strength. It's going to show the fact that God wants to give us strength. So let's be inspired by this in Jesus' name. And to tell us, you know what, if I said you can do it, you can do it. Amen? And no matter what that might be. And so we, again, need to tap into and recognize. You may have had, part of that song says, you know, that you'll never win. You'll never win. Maybe a voice you hear often, whether it be through others or your own mind or whatever. But God says that, again, as we prayed earlier, that we are the head and not the tail. We are above only, and we're not beneath. Amen? And so, again, we can speak to mountains. And if we have a faith concerning those mountains, we can command them to be removed. I'm talking about the mountain of your life. I'm not talking about a literal mountain. I don't even think Jesus meant a literal mountain. He meant the mountains of your life. There's metaphors throughout the scripture. The mountain of your life. We can speak to the mountains in our life in faith and believe that they're going to be removed in Jesus' name. But it's going to take courage, and it's going to take strength and determination that we're not going to back down. We're not going to give up. We're going to keep on keeping on, not by our own strength, but by the strength of God. Amen. Amen. I just want to encourage you today. Let's look at our notes as we wind this down a little bit. Notice on the second side of this particular set of notes, you'll notice a letter C now concerning this. We've mentioned the fact that he wants to strengthen us, that he strengthens our inner man. Letter C on side two, it says, God is a giver of strength. God is a giver of strength. Let's look at the next slide, if you don't mind. The next slide up there is Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8. Notice what it said. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. Say that out loud. Be strong and of good courage. Let's say it one more time. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. You know, time and time again within the scriptures, there is a connection between strengthening and the presence of God. Again, we see this going along very well with Ephesians 3:16, that they might be strengthened by the spirit in the inner man. Here, God, by Moses, said the Lord is going to strengthen you. He says, be strong, be very courageous. And then he says, the Lord, he's the one who goes before you. He's the one who will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? God's presence provides that strength that you need. No matter what you're encountering, he provides that strength. Notice slide 10, which is Joshua 1:9, going along with this. Notice what it says. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For or because why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Obviously, if he's in us, he's with us. Say, the Lord my God is with me wherever I go. Let's say that again and ponder it. Think about it as you say it. The Lord my God is with me no matter where I go. You say that's just applied to Joshua? Absolutely not. We just read several scriptures that applies to you and me, that the Holy Spirit is within us, dwells in us. He walks with us. He's our God. And we're his people. Amen? Again, we're talking about why does the Holy Spirit indwell us? He indwells us to give us strength. And there's many other scriptures given reference here in your notes. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. Many of you know it. It talks about the fact that those that are weary and running, and then it says that as those that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings like the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint, right? And so again, waiting upon the Lord. You know, that word waiting in the Hebrew has the idea of to bind together by twisting. To bind together by twisting is part of the meaning of that word wait. Wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, that bind together with the Lord by twisting. That means closeness. That means intimacy. That means allowing the Spirit of God to be your friend. And when you do so, there is an exchange of strength. Amen? An exchange of strength that comes into our lives. I pray you're receiving something from this. I felt that the Lord wanted to just impart a renewed sense of His strength to each and every one of us today. I felt that people were struggling with feeling weak and belabored and fatigued and all these various things for various reasons, problems, tribulations, whatever the case may be. But God wants you to know that He is the strength of your life. He is your refuge, your fortress. He says, be of good courage and be strong because I'm with you, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I believe that is not just a word in Scripture. That is a word for this church, for you today. It goes on. We don't have a lot of time, but notice Colossians 1:11 is the next Scripture it's referred to in your notes. The Amplified says, we pray. This is part of Paul's prayer for the Colossians. He said, we pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. Again, if Paul prayed that prayer, it must have been God's will because Paul was inspired by the Spirit of God. Amen? And so what is God's will? That you be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory. His glory is referring to the heaviness of His presence in our lives. According to His glory, that we might endure, that we might persevere, that we might not quit. I want to encourage you, don't quit. Don't give up. We know Galatians says that if you'll keep on sowing, you're going to reap if you don't give up. Amen? Don't give up today. Receive the strengthening of the Lord that's already available to you. Notice letter D. Concerning this, first of all, C was God is a giver of strength. D, God gives strength when we feel weak. I'm not going to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, Paul, by the Spirit of God, is talking about, you know, he had gone to God in prayer three times because there was this thorn in the flesh that was there to buffet him. And there's a lot of theological things about that, but the basic thing is he prayed that God would take it away. And what was God's response? God's response was, my grace is sufficient for you. And then he went on and he said, for my weakness, I am made strong. In my weakness, I'm made strong. Therefore, I will glorify God in my infirmities, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. What does he say? Is he saying that it's good to be weak? No, he's saying that when I am at my end, when I can't go any further, God's grace is there. God's grace means in part enabling power, enabling ability. I can tap in, and my weakness turns into His strength to go through and to conquer. It's not a defeatist type of passage. It's a conquering, victorious kind of passage. Amen? So God gives strength when we feel weak. Letter E, strength is connected to the grace of God. I want you to turn to the second passage there, 1 Corinthians 15:10. And we're getting ready to end this, but we're going to pray for people today. People that feel weak, people that need a prayer of strength in their lives. How many of you know if Paul prayed for the Ephesians and the Colossians for strength, then we certainly can pray one for another for strength, can't we? Amen? And so look over here at 1 Corinthians 15. Paul did a lot of things for the kingdom of God. He worked hard in the kingdom of God and accomplished many things. But notice what it says, what Paul says by the Spirit of God concerning even his ministry. It says here, beginning with verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 15. Are you there? It says, for I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. Notice, it's not I that labor. I mean, you know, faith without works is dead. But it's not our labor. It says, but not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He's saying it's the grace of God that labored. It's the grace of God that empowered me. It's the grace of God that enabled me to do everything that I did. Amen? And you know what? That would apply to you and me as well. Whatever we do for God, whatever we do in life, everything, you know, our Christianity is not a part of what we are. Our Christianity is supposed to be what we are, no matter where we are, whether we're walking down the street, whether we're driving down, you know, with the car, or whether we're at work or at home or whatever. Our Christianity is not just something we do or are on Sunday mornings. It shouldn't be. I hope it's not. Our Christianity is what we are all the time, 24/7. And so within all of that, we also can say that by the grace of God, I am what I am. And it's by God's grace that I do whatever I do, that I labor, but I don't labor. It is the grace of God laboring in me and with me. Amen. So no matter what you do at work, whether you are working, whatever kind of job, it doesn't matter. I can't even think of things right now because I am tired, but I've got the strength of God. Amen. I am being by faith an illustration of tapping into the grace of God this morning. Amen. Because it's only by His grace that we can do anything that we can do. And so we're going to pray. I'd like the worship team to come. The last thing that's mentioned there as they're coming, the last point, letter F. Again, E is strength is connected to the grace of God. F, strength is ministered to us through the anointed word. How many of you know it's the word of God, but it's not just the word. It's the anointed word, right? In other words, it's the word that has the breath of God upon it. How many of you have ever heard somebody preach or teach? And I pray it hasn't been here. But you've heard somebody preach or teach the word, but it had no life to it. It had no touch from heaven. It had no spirit upon it. You know, Paul talks about it. I give the reference, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where it talks about the dead letter that kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life to His word. And the word of His grace is able to build us up and give us an inheritance. Amen? And so thank God for the anointed word. Thank God for the Spirit and the word working together in order to infuse us with strength, in order to give us the power to go on, in order to help us to conquer over every giant, in order for us to remove every mountain that stands in our way. I want you to know that if God is for you, and He is, then who can be against you? Would you stand with me? Amen? Let's just stand together. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for Your divine strength. We thank You for Your infusion of strength. We thank You, Father God, that in ourselves we're not worthy of anything, but by Your grace, by the grace of God, we are what we are. And by that grace, we are empowered and we are enabled, Father, to do every and anything that You want us to do. And it's actually the grace of God that's doing it in and through us today. Father, we thank You that You are the one who is more than willing to impart and to infuse a strengthening in our lives, in our inner man, in our innermost being that will affect our outer being. We thank You, Father God, for what You have to say about it and what You want to do in people's lives today, for the weary, for the distraught, Father. In Jesus' name, if this describes you, if you want prayer today, there's no shame in that. We all feel weary at times. We all feel like we need prayer. How many of you know if we're too prideful to say, I need prayer and have others pray with us, something's wrong with that. We're never meant to go it alone. Think about all the one another's of the Bible. We're to comfort one another. We're to edify one another. We're to pray for one another. We're to, you know, do all these one another. I mean, there's love one another, all sorts of things. And so we're going to practice the Bible. We're all one another's in Christ. And if you need prayer because you have been through it, maybe you've been just through the ringer, as they say. You've been suffering. You've been, maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's trials at work. Maybe it's economic or whatever the case may be. It could be a whole myriad of issues. I believe God wants to minister strength to you. We've seen it in the Bible. Amen? And He's the same God. He's the same God to us as He was to the Ephesians. Same God to us that He was to the Colossians. Amen? Amen. Same God to us that He was to Joshua. And so As they just worship and the rest of you worship or pray with us, if you'd like prayer for strength today, let's pray for you in Jesus' name. Come on up. Come on up in Jesus' name. Hey, Pastor, I've never committed my life to Christ. I've never surrendered my life to Him and made Jesus the Lord of my life. We've all sinned. We've all failed. We've all messed up, and we need forgiveness. But thank God there is forgiveness. Not by works which we've done. We can't earn it, but thank God for His grace. And so, lest we leave here without giving this opportunity, is there anyone here today? And you'd say, I need prayer. I need to know that I'm forgiven. I need to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. Would you just lift your hand up high? I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to. I'm just going to pray with you. If that applies to you, if you just lift your hand, I want to pray with you and help you know this Jesus. Anybody at all? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we love you. Thanks so much for coming today. I know we're a little more sparse than normal, but that's all right. God showed up. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so stay for fellowship if you can. It's cold outside anyway. You might as well stay in here where it's warm, right? Amen. I'm going to just ask my wife if she'd close us in prayer. God bless you.
Praise you, Jesus. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be here together today. Lord, I just thank you that as every person leave today, they come out knowing that they've got a relationship with you. Lord, I thank you that you strengthen and encourage and comfort every single person here. Father, I thank you that you give them wisdom to handle the situations that they're going to encounter today, or this week, Lord. I thank you for discernment so that they can handle situations the way you would want them handled. And Father, I just thank you that there is a strength and an encouragement in each one of them, that as they go out, they just feel so much more in tune to you. As they get into your word, Lord God, and as they get into prayer with you, Father, that they just know that that relationship with you is what's strengthening them. It's that relationship with you that's going to keep them going forward, and that their work week is going to be better than it's ever been. Lord, I just thank you that in this time of layoffs and this time of discouragement for some, Father God, that you remind them that your hand is on them, that you are carrying them, and that you never leave them. You never turn your back on them, and you don't let them down. And Father, I thank you that if anyone here is tempted to turn from you today or turn from you at all, Lord God, that you remind them that you've sustained them, that life would have been much worse without you, and that we need you, Father God, and that you are our strength and our source and comfort. And Father, as each one go out of here today, I thank you that they know that and that they can go out rejoicing that you are their God and King. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.